Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Discovery. For those who are new or are just showing up for a while, this is kind of the pregame where I give all of the really important announcements that you'd be really sad to miss, so you should show up early or on time. My name's Jason. I'm the communications director here at Discovery. We want to welcome you. We want to welcome our people here on live stream. Carly is moderating, so is Shelly. Please tell them hello. And man, I'm having a good weekend. My wife was busy with IF Gathering, so I got to spend some good time with the kids, which was really fun. Tried to put together a Lego set with my youngest daughter, and then I was like, you know, I'm just going to do this on my own. I'm just going to enjoy this on my own. And that was fine. You know, that was fine. Some of us parent in different ways, all right? I like to encourage independence. Anyway, go ahead and grab some coffee if you haven't already. For those people here in the auditorium, we kind of have a fun coffee experience for later. We have a lot of stuff going on, today. We thought last weekend was busy. Last weekend ain't got nothing on this weekend. We just had 2 days of IF Gathering, and today we have a few things happening. Number one, we have a newcomers reception. If you've been new in the last 3 or 4, 5, 6 weeks, basically if you haven't come to a newcomers reception yet, we have a newcomers reception, and it's through the doors to my left, your right, directly after service, right behind that black curtain over there. We also have a fun coffee tasting event. We will have some local coffees kind of set up in the rotunda after church. Please go through the line, taste some coffee, and let us know what you think of it, because your selection might be the coffee that we start to serve. I'm here now. Yes. Hello. A little closer, a little more personal. Man, how long were they waving at me wildly up there? Not long? Okay, good. Thank you, Lori. So our coffee tasting event, yes, I believe we're serving Folgers currently, which is fine if that's your deal, but we're in Tacoma, Washington, and we have some better options. So we're going to give some of those to you today, and you can make a choice that will change the future of Discovery as we know it. So. And then tonight, we have a family skate night. Strap on the old roller skates. Come out to, I believe it's at Skate World in Faircrest. It's tonight at 6 p.m., and it does cost $8 a person. Our registration is still open. If you had a discochurch.com events, you can check that out. Save the date for a bunch of stuff we have coming up. I'm the one that updates all of our events and everything like that. And I, right before Easter, I put 10 events on the calendar that we can be looking forward to between Easter and the 4th of July. So let me read through some of these. We have a family worship Sunday. That's on April 30th. Whenever there are 5 Sundays in a month, that 5th Sunday, we invite the kids to stay with us for the worship portion of our day. And yeah, it's just really fun to just have the whole family in the auditorium. That's on the 30th. On the 14th of May, we have our Mother's Day celebration. We have a worship night on Friday, May 19th. We have a Father's Day chili cook-off on Sunday, July 18th. And we have a no rain Rainiers game on the 2nd of July. I'm calling it right now. I'm speaking it into existence that it will be not rainy at all this time. So those are the events coming up. You can get more details and registration info at discochurch.com/events. And that is all for me. And I'm going to turn it over to Brad. But let me pray first. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thanks for bringing us here. Thanks for the truly impactful weekend that the women in this church had. Pray that you would bless our time together. We love you. In your name, amen. All right, see you in a bit.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bobby. Welcome to Discovery. Will you stand and worship with us, please? It's all for love, and the greatest thrills to the most mundane. It's all for love. It's all for love. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Again, I'm the Jason from 90 seconds ago. So go ahead and take a seat. I just have some announcements here. My name is Jason. I'm the communications director here. Welcome to Discovery. Glad that you are here. If you were a lady that was at IF Gathering yesterday, can I just hear just some, I mean, the jealousy running through my body. After my wife just came home every day and was like, I'm working through it. I'm working on it, okay? So happy that we have that and that you know, it just is this kickoff, and it just kind of continues throughout the year. We'll have some information about some smaller gatherings throughout the year. That they don't have to be smaller, Tracy. That's a word. That'll preach, Trace. Thank you. We've got some pretty awesome things after service today. But at this point, I'd love to see a little connection card. I'd love to see one person hold up a connection card for me right now. Sheila, yes, thank you. You know, this connection card is just a way for us to hear what you need from us, how we can serve you better. You can share a prayer request. Thank you, Connor. Thank you. You can share a prayer request. If you want John to call you today, if you write on a connection card, call me today, John. He will. In fact, let's everyone write on our connection card, John, will you call me today? I love it. Challenge accepted. So after service today, a couple of things. Number one, this direction, we have a newcomer's reception. Ooh, we got a new newcomer's reception sign. Wow. Donna crushed it. She crushed it. So if you've been, if you're newish to Discovery over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, if you haven't been to a newcomer's reception yet, let's say that. If you haven't been to a newcomer's reception yet, join us through that door right after service. John will be there, and you just get to hear a little bit more about who we are, how we serve our community, and we just want to get to know you. We want to get to know you. Through this way, down the stairs into the rotunda, I mentioned before service, we have a little coffee tasting. We are serving, I believe, Folgers currently, which I'm, as a confession, and I've just confessed that, and that's what the reality is. But that does not have to be our reality. We can change the course of Discovery as we know it right now. So go through those doors, taste some coffee, let us know what you like, and we're going to work to get it here. I think that's easy, right? And then later today, we have our family skate night, which is going to be so fun. Like, if you're younger than, like, 30, you probably have no idea how big skating was to the rest of us. We went skating all the time. My mom taught me to skate. She's a fantastic skater. My mom had one rule. She said if you start to fall, what did you say, Mom? Don't take me down with you. She said, let go of my hand, which is a parenting choice, I'm going to say. So anyway, the registration is still open for that. It's $8, and you can head to discochurch.com/events and register for that. We would love to see you there. So right after I leave, we're going to sing again. John is going to preach. We are going to worship through giving back to God. We are going to sing again, which I love because I love singing. And then we're going to head in one of these directions and enjoy one of the fun things we have planned right after service, okay? Thanks, guys.
Will you stand and worship with us? You know, sometimes a parent might let go of your hand, but Jesus won't.
Amen.
Amen. We serve a good God. And if you walked in here holding on to some fear today, maybe you walked in holding on to some hopelessness. Maybe you walked in holding on to some doubt. We serve a good God, amen. He'll take it from you. He'll take it, he'll replace it with something different. That's what this song's about. So the words will be on the screen. Ignore the people around you. Press in. So let him turn it in your favor. Watch him work it for your good. 'Cause he's not done with what he's started. He's not done until it's good. So hello peace, hello joy. Hello love, hello strength, Hello, hope, it's a new horizon. Hello, peace. Hello, joy. Hello, love. Hello, strength. Hello, hope, it's a new horizon. So if you're ready for a breakthrough, just open up and just receive. Yeah. 'Cause what he's pouring out is nothing you've ever seen. So hello peace, hello joy, hello love, hello strength, hello hope, it's a new horizon. Hello peace, hello joy, hello love, hello strength, hello hope, it's a new you are. Sickness is not my story. You are. Heartbreak's not my home. You are. Death is not the end, Jesus. You are. Come on, church. Fear is not my future. You are. Sickness is not my story. You are. Heartbreak's not my hope. You are. Death is not the end. You are. So hello. Hello, peace. Hello, joy.
Hello, strength.
Hello, hope. It's a new horizon.
Romans 15 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may overflow in hope. God, we want to be a people of hope. We want to be a people overflowing with the power of the Spirit. God, we come before you and we thank you that you give us not a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of truth, of power and self-discipline. And that is the new identity that you call us to. The old is gone and the new has come. And you are constantly resurrecting what is dead in us. We thank you, Jesus, for this good and precious gift, which is yourself. We thank you. And you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my end. long. Let's sing this together. I'm no longer a slave to fear. That's the truth. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. And I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
Come on, church.
And I'm no longer. I am a child of God.
Do you believe it?
And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Child of God.
Jesus, to be standing here today. I'm standing here not on my own two feet. Sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think that we earn this day by our success or even by our failure. Sometimes we think that we deserve X, Y, and Z, but the reality is I am just a child of God's grace and mercy. And I stand here today only in your grace and mercy. And Father God, if I am to stand tomorrow, if by your incredible grace you choose to give me another day, I pray that I not only be standing in your grace and mercy, but I pray that the words that fall off my lips, the things that my hands do, the weary places of my feet walk would just drip your grace and mercy. Do whatever you need to do in me and in us. And I think that there's some stuff that has to be done. And I pray you do it. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, worship team. Don't go anywhere yet, worship team. Everybody have a seat for a minute. Worship team, no, serious. Don't walk. Monica, you don't go anywhere. So anybody thank the worship team, would you, real quick? Come here. I want all the worship team right in your circle. Can you get all get up here? Joe, you too. Come right here. Come up here. We're going to pray for you as a church, okay? Can we do that? Yeah, we're going to pray for the worship team. And this isn't all the worship team. We have worship team up in the balcony. Everybody look on the balcony. This is a part of our worship team. They are making sure people can engage in worship all over via the internet and making sure that you have songs, words that you can sing to and scriptures that you can read along with. And back here in the back, we have a sound team. Right there's Carl this morning. And there is just a ton of work and energy that goes into to leading in this space. And there's other worship team members that this is their week off, and they're not here today. And there's some worship team leaders here that are not worship team leaders yet. So I just want to take a minute, and I want to pray as the church for this entire ministry, okay? Would you pray with me for this team? Jesus, we are very, very grateful for the men and the women who lead sacrificially, and they do. They wrestle so hard through tons and tons of music and forms and try to find out what reflects the gospel, what is deeply saturated with scripture, and what will connect with the heart of people. They wrestle with it, Father. They gather on Thursday nights, and they laugh a little, and they fight a little bit to prayerfully come out on the other end with something that would just be so honoring to you, Jesus. And Father God, I want to pray for this team that strives to lead us. Here's what I pray for them first, is that you would draw them so intimately close to you. God, I pray that that worship would not be a task, but it would be an overflow of a heart that is growing closer and closer to the Father's. God, second, I pray for this worship team that it would not be about the stage, but it'd be more about the streets. I pray, Father, that their worship would be first led on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that God, that they would, as they lead us in song and as worship on a weekend, it would be after watching you use them in the streets humbly and effectively with their neighbors, with people, God. And then, Father, last, I pray that there'd be a special anointing in this place, that when we worship together, it would break hard, cold places and hearts that we all wrestle with. And I pray that, God, you would use this ministry, Father, to just help us all to enter right into your presence. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, team, thank you. One more thank you for them. And, you know, we say that on purpose, that the worship team is not just here on the stage. It's all around this room, up in the platform, up in the balcony and behind you. And There are people that are serving right now all through this building. Chris Brown, he comes walking in and walking out. You know what he's doing? He's worshiping. He's worshiping, making sure no one's breaking into a car. He's doing that lovingly, and he's making sure that things are secure. It's his way of worshiping. And there are people right now that are worshiping right now with some toddlers who are going crazy. And they're worshiping right now. Donna is running around right now. Some people are setting up coffee. It's their way to worship. We have worship leaders all over. And many of you in this room, you're worship leaders in lots of different days. And this is your week to sing. This is your week to open up God's word. And I just want us to remember that whatever we do, it starts with the heart of worship. Amen? It's all out of the heart. So, hey, welcome to Discovery. Some of you, this is your first time with us. We had a great Easter last week. Anybody? A little amen? A little. Yeah, it was awesome. So I shared this morning in our prayer time, we pray 9 o'clock, we pray for you. Even if we didn't know you were going to be here. I want you to know someone was praying for you. And we pray, and we talked about how for the last 2,000 years, Jesus people have celebrated Easter every week. Do you know that? That's why we worship on Sundays. Did you know that? Like Jesus people, prior to the resurrection, Jesus worshiped on Saturday. That's their main day. But then they're like, oh my word, the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Oh, let's do this next week. So Jesus people began worshiping on the first day of the week, every week, because of the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus. So you and I, we're still doing Easter, okay? So this Easter number two. We're going to do 52 of them this year, okay? 52 Easters. So we're kicking off a brand new series called Between Two Worlds. We're still going to be in the Gospel of Luke. You're going to have your Bible handy. And so some of you, if this is your first time with us, I just want to introduce myself. My name's John, and my wife is Tracy here. And we've been in Lincoln High School for about 18 months, but we have been in Tacoma for a long time. So in fact, this is going to be really weird to say, but this month, I don't remember the exact day, but this month, Tracy and I celebrate 23 years in the same house. Wow. Wow. 23 years this month, same house. And that's a wow for me because until this house, I had never lived anywhere longer than 3 years. We moved all the time. Anybody move all the time? Anybody? Yeah. So some of you know move. My dad wasn't in the military. I think he wanted to be. I think that was the reason. So he said, since I'm not in the Army, we're just going to move anyway. So we moved all the time. And if you've moved all the time, some of you said amen, you know the challenge that moving into a new place, a new town, a new school, anybody? Anybody? Is some of you going to start twitching a little bit, okay? One of the hardest things on planet Earth is if you're a kid, you got to move to a new school. Somebody say something, amen. And of the worst of all of that, not just a new school, how about this one? A new middle school. I'm telling you what, there ain't nothing worse than a new middle school. And I remember one of our moves was in the middle of eighth grade. And a couple of years leading up to this move, I was living in the big town of Kansas City, Missouri. Anybody a little Kansas City? And, you know, and Kansas City is one of the largest towns in the Midwest. It's a hopping place. And, you know, as a seventh grader, I was right in the middle of the movement of Kansas City, Missouri. And all of a sudden, my parents said, we're going to move. And we moved from one of the biggest cities in the Midwest to one of the smallest towns in the state of Missouri. In fact, I think it had the record of the smallest city. I don't think they call it a city. I don't know what they call it. I think there's four people in this town. It's called Stett, Missouri. And the middle school, it wasn't just a middle school. It was one school, okay? It was elementary, middle, high school, all one school. It's the smallest school in the state of Missouri that had a football team. Everybody had to play if they were going to show up on Friday night, okay? That's what this place was. This is where we moved. So when I was, by the time I was in eighth grade, we didn't have much money. And a lot of you, that's been your story, and that was my story. We had very little money in our family. So by the time I hit middle school, I started working. I had my first job at 11, and I worked every year since. And I spent all my money on clothes, right? Because that was a big deal. You had to look the part. And so by the time I get to eighth grade, Mama wasn't doing any shopping for me anymore. It was me. And we found out we were going to a new place, new school. I was like, I'm going to step it up. So just before we moved, I went to the mall. They did have malls back then, okay? And I went to the mall, and I took all my money in my grubby little hands, and I bought me some Michael Jackson-inspired pants, okay? And I spent the wad on these things. And so I had to be really strategic with the rest of my money, so I bought an IZOD-inspired shirt. You guys know what I'm talking about? That little emblem? You guys remember? So it was no horse on there, no alligator. It was something else. I don't know, maybe a gecko. I don't know what it was. Some squiggly thing. But it was an IZOD-inspired shirt. And I bought myself some almost Nike shoes. So that's what I got. And that little morning in a little farmhouse, I got all dressed up. Man, I swear there was a couple of bandanas in there somewhere. And a painter's hat. Anybody from the 80s remember painter's caps? Anybody? And I want you to know, I looked in the mirror and I was like, I am set. I was drippy, folks. I was I was looking good. Can you imagine? Brad, are you imagining right now? I mean, I made sure my glasses, which were really big, I made sure they didn't slide down at all that whole day. They were up, and I was, maybe drippy is the wrong word, by the way. It was close. I was totally awesome, okay? There you go. That's a little more 80s. So we got in that Buick Skylark, and we drove about 10 miles from the little tiny town of Stett with three people to Hardin, Missouri, middle school, high school, elementary complex, okay? And the whole way, that 10 miles, I felt so good. And I got out of the car early and started, I didn't just get out of the car. Guys, I want you to know, there's some swagger walking into that school with my Michael Jackson-inspired pants. So you guys probably imagine how this is going, right? Until I opened the doors of the school. And it took me just a matter of moments to realize the next couple of days were going to be really, really tough. Because nobody heard of Michael Jackson in Hardin, Missouri. And there was only Wrangler bootcut jeans, as far as the eye can see, flannel, cowboy hats, and cowboy boots. And I was like, dear Jesus. I think that's when I first started praying, actually. It was right there in that moment. So if anybody knows what that's like, you know that I was literally in between two worlds, right? I was not in Kansas City. And just, I'll be real honest, because I don't want to give you guys a false impression. I was not that drippy in Kansas City, okay? I wasn't that it there, okay? But I wasn't in Kansas City anymore, and I certainly wasn't welcome in Hardin, Missouri. I was like an alien. You guys remember that Back to the Future when he shows up with Calvin Klein? So like, Calvin Klein? That was me. Like, I fell out of the tree, and they had a life preserver on. They're like, man, how did this kid float in here? So, and stuck between two worlds. And if you've ever been in that place, you know that that's a miserable place to be, right? Where you can't go back, and you're not sure if you can go forward, right? That you don't know if you could ever go back home, and you're not sure if this could ever be home. That's what we're talking about, between two worlds. Now, historically, Jesus people have taken this as one of the hallmarks of the faith, this between two worlds concept. So the writer in the book of Hebrews calls us sojourners. You guys heard this phrase before? We are strangers or aliens. Like, we have a passport here, but the passport is stamped to another country that's there. It's heaven, right? So the writer of Hebrews says, we're just journeying here, but our real home is there, right? That's this between two worlds. You hear the phrase, like, we're in the world, but we're not of it. I can't wait to get to heaven. That's my home. There's hope and expectation. Now, in the recent years, there's a third concept of between two worlds. It's called deconstruction. So some of you have probably heard a little bit about deconstruction. Deconstruction isn't the same as the journeying or stranger here with this hope that's coming, right? It's a lot more like the awkward middle school thing, right? That's what deconstruction is. It's a lot more like, man, I don't belong there and I don't belong here. I don't know where I belong. Now, the first time I ever heard of deconstruction was a few years ago. Tracy and I, we watch a lot of cooking shows, and we love, like, Gordon Ramsay's a hero at our house. It's like, thank you, one person likes Gordon, so he's mean but lovable at the same time, right? So we watch a lot of cooking shows and cooking competitions, and these cooking shows, we started seeing some things on these shows where someone will come with this plate, and they're so proud to lay it there, and everyone's like, what is it? He'll say, that's a deconstructed hamburger. You seen these before? Or deconstructed apple pie, right? Or deconstructed lasagna. It's this, they take something lovable, something wonderful, and they make it something terrible. Or just kidding. But they take something that has these roots in it that everybody loves and everybody likes, but they're not so sure it fits in today. That it's grown stale, it's no longer fashionable, that no one really likes it the same. So we want to make it contemporary. Okay? We want to take something old and we want to make it new. We want to make it fresh. We want to make it authentic to us in this century. Does that make sense? So that's the first time I started seeing deconstruction, where like, let's take some apple pie and let's make it better. Now, interestingly enough, like Tanya said, what? So here's the interesting thing about this is, like, 9 times out of 10, it never works, right? So And the truth is it makes for an incredibly great TV, right? It's entertaining to watch somebody take apart the apple pie, put a mess on the plate, and be like, ta-da! And everyone's like, could you just have given us some apple pie, right? And you see the same trend show up in art. And it makes for good art exhibits to go into like a gallery and watch somebody deconstruct something and create something new. It's interesting. It's thought-provoking. Sometimes you'll see them do it in like fashion shows. Not that I watch fashion very much, but I've seen a couple of America's Next Top Model, okay? So I know all there is to know about fashion, But you'll see it's kind of entertaining. It makes for great TV. It's thought-provoking. However, it's a terrible way to live. So if you find yourself in a place where you're deconstructing your worldview, you're deconstructing what you know to be true about the world and yourself and about God, and you're trying to put that all together and piece together, it's a painful, difficult, isolating place to live. It can be necessary. It can be good. But it can also be incredibly, incredibly hard. So here's what we're going to do. The next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about this between two worlds. It's about how to navigate deconstruction. And we're going to talk about how to do that as a like in a culture that's deconstructing, and we're going to talk about how do you do that as a person, as an individual who's wrestling with deconstructing my worldview, and like, how do I navigate this? We're going to be in Luke chapter 7, and one of the things I love about Luke 7 is that Luke 7 is filled, it says back-to-back with people having an encounter with Jesus, and all of these people, they're on the outside looking in, every one of them. In fact, we cheated just before Easter. Some of you, if you're tracking and you're walking through your Bible, you probably are a little bit what happened, because we just went and jumped right in the middle of Luke 7 to talk about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is just one of multiple conversations Jesus has in Luke 7, of people who are wrestling with faith. And it all starts with the last couple of verses in Luke 6. So today we're going to start in Luke 6, the very end of that chapter, and you're going to see how Jesus speaks directly to people that are between two worlds. And he's going to give some incredibly relevant steps for you and I to take. And so let's dive in. You game? Okay. And by the way, you're going to see over the course of our conversations that deconstruction is not something to so much be scared of or to be afraid of. If you find yourself in that place or a friend that's in that place or somebody you love's in that place, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it multiple times. It actually is a necessary part of everyone's faith journey. And let's not miss that. Okay, let's pick up in Luke chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Okay, let's let that stick out. Okay, I'm going to slow down and read that again. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Verse 47 says, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them in practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment that torrent struck, it struck that house and it collapsed and its destruction was complete." A few very powerful, important sentences that Jesus gives us about deconstruction. I say it's about deconstruction because did you look at the very first verse? "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I like how Eugene Peterson translates this. He says, "Why are you so polite with me, always saying, 'Yes, sir,' and 'That's right, sir,' but never doing a thing I tell you?" Jesus is talking to people who like him, right? He's saying, listen, you like me. You like me enough because you're curious. You show up. You're here. You're kind of following me around at a distance. You're keeping me distant. And even though you like me and you're curious about me, you're not going all the way in. You're stuck literally between two worlds. And I love that he loved the beginning. He says, why? Why? Why are you stuck between two worlds? John Mark Comer says that there are five reasons that people in 2023 are wrestling with deconstruction. The first one is, he says, it's a wounding church experience. This is one, probably the largest right now, the largest, the most pressing issue that causes deconstruction in 2023 is people are walking around with wounds from the church. From the church itself or from Jesus' people. The second thing that John Mark Comer says is that bad teaching is pervasive in our world today. That there's a lot of people that say that they're deconstructing, but probably are not deconstructing or pushing away from Jesus and the gospel and what's true. They're pushing away from a false or an imitation gospel or a false or imitation version of what the church is or false imitation of who God is. So there is a lot of deconstruction, honestly, that's good because there's been some deep, bad teaching that people are like, this doesn't make sense to me. This doesn't connect. The third reason in 2023 that so many people are deconstructing is this desire to sin without guilt, right? I mean, there are a lot of us that want to deconstruct, you know, because we don't want to change, and we like to find some form of Jesus that doesn't make me feel guilty about it. Amen? And I don't know that they're alone in that. I think we all struggle with that. Fourth reason is there is overwhelming social pressure. And I think it's important for us to identify and articulate today in this space that we're not talking about social media, okay? There is pressure on social media, without a doubt, but I think it's important for us to recognize in 2023 that it is really hard for many of us in this room to hold to orthodox Christian beliefs that men and women have held for 2,000 years and keep our job. Okay? And I know I've had, it's easy for me, okay? But I know, and I've had multiple conversations. I've had multiple conversations in this room, in this space, where people have said, Pastor, would you pray for me? Because I had one person say, if people knew what I did on Sundays, I don't know if I could keep my job. So you know this, right? It's real that there's pressures, and those pressures make a person begin to say, should I hold on to this? Is this something I should hold close, and should I continue to be around these people? If people knew that I had friends that I follow that believe this, that's one of the reasons why a lot of us begin to separate, because we're like, it costs us a lot. And the last one is this. John Mark Comer says that the fifth reason is satanic assault. And for some of you, that may sound a bit dramatic, but I think most of us in this room have known and felt and experienced spiritual attack. And sometimes we doubt and we have pervasive doubts and struggles with our faith, and it's a spiritual ongoing attack in our lives. And so there are lots of reasons why that a person can be stuck between two worlds. In 2023, there's lots of factors. I find so interesting in this passage that we're reading in Luke chapter 6 that Jesus spends no time with this. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Like, I mean, do you know what's causing you to be in this place where you're stuck between two worlds? And then he just blows right by it. He says, I'm going to give you some things that you must do regardless of what is fueling this deconstruction moment in your life. So I think this is important. So you might be here this morning and you might be just wrestling with faith and wrestling with doubt. Or you might this morning be finding yourself in a place of deconstruction, or maybe you're even, tiptoeing towards deconverting. And that could be fueled by church hurt. Some people deeply hurt you, wounded you, or you've been around bad teaching, or we could go down the list. Wherever you are on the spectrum, Jesus says, here's some steps that you should take right now. Number one. Dig. And I want you to write this down. Three little letters, okay? But they're big. Jesus says, I want you to dig. I'm going to read this again. I'm going to go back. I'm going to read out of Eugene Peterson's translation of Luke 6 and read the whole thing. So, Laura, you're going to have to jump around a little bit. I'm going to go back to verse 46, and I'm going to read all the way to the end. So he says, "Why are you so polite with me, always saying, 'Yes, sir,' and 'That's right, sir,' but never doing a thing? I tell you, these words I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. No, they are foundation words, words to build a life on." Verse 48, "If you work the words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. And when the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter." Everybody say dumb carpenter. You can see why I like this translation, okay? "Well, you're a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was just a total and complete loss." Here's what Jesus is asking you and I to first do. He's asking us to dig. If you're going to build a home that's going to be sustainable, it's going to be beautiful, it's going to stand the test of time, and you're going to build it, the first thing is not going to be the window dressings. The first thing is not going to be the paint color. That might be in your mind like, "Oh, I'd love to have a pink house one day," right? "I'd love to have, you know, shutters that are green on that pink house one day." Are you feeling it with me, by the way? You feeling it, the pink? Okay, never mind. Okay. The first thing you got to do is you got to take a big machine out to the place that you want to build the house, and you have to remove the things that are in the way of building the foundation. When Jesus is talking about digging, he's not just talking about digging for digging's sake. No, he's saying, "I want you to dig so that you can put a foundation, a strong foundation." And there are things in the way of a strong foundation of faith in your life. Amen? In May, we're going to be in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus delivers this beautiful and well-known story, the parable of the seeds. You guys remember this? And Jesus says that he talks about God casting seeds. He's like, God's planting seeds all the time. It's an illustration to you and me. Like, if you're still breathing, then God's still planting. Amen? Did you know that? Like right now, literally, you're still breathing, God's still planting. He's scattering seeds. And then Jesus says, but here's what happens. Some of that seed falls on like the road. It's hard, it's cold, it's dead, and the seed just bounces along, and the birds are like, dinner! And they swoop down and they grab the seeds just as quickly. And then some seed, Jesus says, it falls down in this place where there's a ton of rocks, right? And he says the seed falls in the rocks, right? In the springtime, this is spring right now. Like some of you, you've got plants growing on your sidewalk. Anybody? You seen that? There's stuff growing on your sidewalk. And he's like, that's normal. The seeds fall down in there and they grow until what happens? That sun comes out and things get a little bit tough and they die quick. And he says some of the seed falls among the thorns and the weeds. And some, now, I'm not going to preach that whole sermon. But what I want us to see is that Jesus is saying is that there are things in the way that need to be deconstructed. About 2 weeks ago, our oven stopped working. And if you asked Tracy, she would say, that oven stopped working like 5 years ago. But I've been piecing this bad boy together. Every time it breaks, I like go down to the store, they know me by name, and I'm buying parts. And the thing that did it was the door fell off. So this is how bad it got. And what's worse is that this is not the first time the door fell off. This is the fourth time the door fell off. And now there's nothing left that I can, you know, bail this thing back together with. So I'm like, ah. So we'll get another one. Fortunately, I had a free one sitting in the carport. So it's just been sitting there. I got a free one. She's really excited about the free one, by the way. That's a different story. Okay, nevertheless, here's the point. So like 20 years ago when I got this oven, I got it before I remodeled the kitchen. I remodeled the kitchen around this oven. It's bigger than normal ovens because I was like, man, we got a big family, all these kids. We need a big stove. And so I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go, you know, switchy swap these two ovens around. Hours later, you know what the problem was? It won't fit out the doors. The oven won't fit out the doors of the house. So you know what I had to do? I had to take this thing completely apart, piece by piece, just so I can get myself a waffle, right? I just need to take this thing apart. You have some things that you need to take apart that are standing in the way of what God wants to do. Deconstruction can not only be good, but I want to suggest this to you. It can be and is necessary in the life of every man, woman, and child. I think that your kids are going to have to go through some layer level of deconstruction to have a vibrant faith. They're going to have to. They're going to have to push against not just the world out there. Do you know who they're going to push against? So Bobby raised his hand, right? They're all going to push against Bobby. So just send your kids to Bobby. Okay? Now they're going to have to push against you. They're going to have to push against because they need to know what's true and right. And I want you to see that all through Scripture, beginning to end, is filled with men and women of faith that did the same thing. Abraham. You know, before Abraham had to move into the work of God, he had to leave where he'd been for 75 years. Moses, before he led the people in the Promised Land, do you know that they had been living not just geographically in a place for 400 years? But that place where they were living was living inside of them for 400 years. It took 40 years in the desert to get rid of all the rocks and the things, to take apart the oven, to move into the Promised Land. They had to dig. Go down through, you know, we can go to Gideon, Josiah, David. Listen, Peter and the apostles, as they started the new church, they had to dig. They had to get back to, like, what is the church? What is the gospel? People of faith that had to do this from the beginning of time, and you have to do this too. Jesus is saying, you find yourself in a place stuck between two worlds, what do? You dig. That's what Jesus is doing in you right now. Remember John 15? You guys remember John 15? Let's throw it up here. In John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Doesn't that sound sweet? This is really good. Watch what comes next. I don't know if I want to read it, but okay. Everybody together. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. You know, right now, like you feel stuck. You're between two worlds. You feel like you're alone and like nobody's ever had to do this before. But I want you to hear, friends. Every man and woman of faith who has a strong and vibrant faith walk has had to walk through the same thing that you're walking right now. It's part of the process to dig down deep. Like even one of our cherished verses from the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we use it for prayer all the time. Let's listen to it for a minute. If my people who are called by my name, so who are the people? They're already his people. This is the people of God. It's us, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and watch this, turn from their wicked ways. Even if you are the people of God, you still have some things that are sideways. Amen? And if you're still breathing, it's not only that God's still planting in your life, but you still got stuff to get rid of. Amen? And it doesn't make you any different than anybody else. You're in the same journey. Jesus is just calling you to own it and dig. Dig down deep. You know, Jacob was, he found himself alone in between two worlds. We won't go through all Jacob's story right now, but you might remember he was leaving one world, going to the next. He found himself with a stone as his pillow, and he ends up in that night having a vision. And some of you remember the vision. The vision is what's such a strong vision that the rest of his life he limps. But he ends up wrestling with who? He ends up wrestling with God. And Jacob's wrestling. He's digging, and he's wrestling while he's stuck in between these two worlds. And he won't let go of God. And God touches his hip. It's the only way to get rid of old Jacob. Let him go for a minute. And then God changes Jacob's name to what? To Israel. You guys know what Israel means? Anybody? Struggles or wrestles with God. Like friends, it is just part of the rich journey of building a life of faith that's sustainable and rich and beautiful to have to dig. And not just dig for digging's sake, but dig to build a strong, vibrant, healthy foundation. And this is the second thing Jesus says. Like, he's not just trying to stir up angst and be like, hey, you should just always be sort of digging and figuring things out. No, dig so that you can get down to bedrock and build a foundation. And Jesus is not apologetic in any ways about this. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to see that he's not apologizing, okay? He says this in verse 49, but the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment that torrent struck the house, it collapsed in its destruction. Jesus is not making any apologies. He's like, I don't know why. He knows why. But there are lots of different whys. But here's the deal. Unapologetically, you need to build your foundation on Jesus and his words alone. And one of the reasons I think this generation is struggling with deconstruction more than any other is that we have left our moorings. We have pulled up the anchor. We have been trying to build a foundation on something other than Jesus and his words. We have done that individually, and I think we do that collectively as the church. I think we've been subtly trying to add things in to the mix. These are foundation principles. You got to be this if you're a real Christian. It's sort of like you got to do this if you're a real patriot, right? This all the time. But you've got to add this and this and this if you're with me and part of the real Christians. Look at this, what Paul said. This is 2,000 years ago. This is in the beginning of the movement of the church. Paul writes this to the people in Galatians chapter 1, he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The people in Galatia were not leaving Christianity for Buddhism. They weren't making this drastic shift to some completely different, like, Eastern religion. You know what they were doing? They were adding. Little by little, they were adding, you gotta be this, and you gotta be this, and you gotta look like me, and you gotta look this way. And little by little, they were moving Jesus and Jesus' words out of the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is, everybody, Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on a foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. I do think that this is a mandate, a call to the church, like us together, to get our crap together. Are there any kids in here? There are a couple kids, I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry for what I said, but just how I said it. We got to get our stuff together. That's what this is. This is called, like, guys, there is an incredible cost, and we will be responsible for God for that, collectively, and also individually, like you. A time's coming. This is the third thing I want to share that Jesus makes no apologies about. Did you see it? I'm going to read it, and I want you to see it. Watch this. I'm going to read verses 48 and 49. If you work the words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. Next sentence. Watch this. When the river burst its bank and crashed against the house, I want you to catch it. It didn't say if. When the river burst its banks and crashed in the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like you like this phrase? Dumb carpenter, okay. Who built a house but skipped the foundation, and not if, he repeats it. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total and complete loss. Here's the good news. Tough times are coming. Tanya was the only one. No other amens in this whole place. But here's what we need to remember. This journey of digging deep and building foundation is not going to make a guarantee that life is going to be easy and sweet for you. We're doing this because storms are coming. It's part of the living experience. I mean, I'm not only talking about some difficulties coming your way, some testing, some trials at work, some spiritual attack. I mean, honestly, end-of-life issues everybody in this room will face, and it's coming. And Jesus wants you to dig down deep and lay a foundation on him and his words alone so that you can stand those tests, come out on the other side victorious with a bright and incredible faith. That's what he wants. And here's the good news. There are a ton of people that never see the cracks. And if you're in this between two worlds moment, you're deconstructing, you're seeing the cracks. I want you to hear that you're in a place right now that's a gift because you're dissatisfied. Like, there's some things that they don't make sense to me. There's some things that are not right. There's some things that are not right in my soul. This is not how a man, this is not how a family, this is not how a church, this is not how a people ought to live, and I refuse to continue to live in this way. You are in an incredibly good place right now. It will be hard to dig down deep. It will take a lot of work to clear that place so you can clear it of all the stuff that's in the way and establish your foundation on Jesus and Jesus alone. But I'm telling you what, God is going to take you through this season, and there will be a day that you will be so glad because the wind is picking up. The rain is coming. The river is rising. And there will be some people that will stand the torrent. So it will be the men and women of faith who did the hard work. And I just want to say to you, friend, if you are feeling that you're in deconstruction, I think that you're in an incredibly gifted place. Just commit to dig and build. Amen? And I hope that Discovery is a place for you to do that on Sundays, but more than that, that's what our groups are. Our small groups are not a place for you to get indoctrinated or you to just get calories and brownies. They're a place for you to have friends where you can wrestle through the things of life together. A place where you should be asking hard questions and say, listen, I want you to know. You should have a space where you can say, listen, I want you all to know right now, I'm having a hard time believing that God is good. Has anybody in this room ever had a hard time believing that God is good? But just that awareness is part of the rebuilding. Here's what I'm going to do. I want to just, you know, every Sunday we have a moment of prayer. We're going to do that. Joe was convinced I need to be done, so he started playing. Thank you, Joe. They thank you, too. So, but here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you. I don't think that it's an accident that you're here this morning, like here in the place. I don't think it's an accident that you're breathing. You've heard me say this. I think that life is a gift, and today is an incredible gift. You and I may not have tomorrow. I mean, this is the day that the Lord has given us. And I'm not going to diminish the hurt that you've been through. Some of you've been betrayed by people. When I talk about church hurt, I mean, there's a person that pops up on the screen. There's a place and time that pops up. I think a lot of us have wrestled through bad teaching. Hopefully not mine, but it's out there, man. And even if you don't want it, YouTube suggests it to you. Right? And it tastes really good. It seems a little bit right. Until all of a sudden you're like, what in the world? We could go down the list. I want to, as your pastor, I want to encourage you today during our prayer time to make a commitment to dig. to dig through the rocks and the thorns that maybe you put there, maybe other people put there. But frankly, it just doesn't matter anymore. It's there. And I want to encourage you to make a commitment today. Jesus, I'm going to dig. And I'm going to dig for the purpose of building my life and my home on you and your word. Would you do that with me? Let's all pray just for a moment. Father, you've made it very evident to me that this year you want to stoke, resurrect, rebirth faith. A faith that is under assault from a world that is pressing. It is under assault from spiritual attack. It is under assault from disappointment. Distorted teaching that we have received. I'm asking in Jesus' name that you resurrect faith. A faith not in the humanity, a faith not in what we can control, a faith not even in the institution of the church. I'm asking in Jesus' name that you resurrect a faith. One and only Son of God, Jesus Himself. I'm going to pray right now. I think that there's some men in this room who have allowed their faith to become dormant. I pray right now that you'd stir in some men in this room a longing to dig again. They've distracted themselves with lots of other things. I pray right now that you would stir in the hearts of some men to dig. God, I think that there is some women in this room who've not only been distracted, but have been deeply hurt. And they walk around wounded and keeping everything and everyone, even you, at bay. Their hands are extended. They're trying to protect. God, I pray that you give them courage to dig again, to trust that as they dig, as they go through the difficulty, that on the other side there's a place of healing and wholeness, that they really can have a foundation that is built on the cornerstone, Jesus Himself. God, I pray that this would be a place where young men and women, our kids, our teenagers, our adult friends can bring legitimate and real questions. And I pray that this, you would use this church to be a place that's not only safe for questions, but is safe for redemption. That people would experience you, Jesus, because this church exists in East Tacoma. I pray that you turn a tide. In Jesus we pray. Would you keep praying that with me? Would you keep praying that with me? We got to keep praying that together. And the world doesn't need a good show, you know, dance. And our world needs Jesus, and they need Jesus alone. I agree. Do you agree? Yeah. So you see some people moving around here. We're going to be passing some baskets right now. This is our giving back to God time. As you've heard me say, many people use this for an offering time, and you can do that. What we really want you to do is we want you to use this as a decision time. There's that little card, a connection card. We'd love for you to fill that out and drop that in. If you have a prayer request, we want to be praying for you and praying with you this week. as soon as the baskets come by, the worship team is going to start inviting you to sing. We're going to sing a song, and then Jason's going to come up here at the end. He's going to tell you about how to get some coffee, 6 different types of coffee. And then I'll tell you the secret. Okay, here's the little secret. We do want to have some better coffee here, so you get to vote on that. But we really want you to meet somebody. We want you to hold that cup of coffee, and we want you to say hi to somebody, get to know somebody. So hang around a little bit. And anyway, thanks for taking risks, guys. Thanks for being a part of the journey together. Okay?
Forever all my days, hallelujah.
Amen. I've been hearing that song for a while now, and every time Monica takes it up that octave, I get chills every time. I love that song. I love that song. All right, thank you so much for joining us. If you are a person who likes taking down camping after you've camped, or maybe you like taking apart Lego sets and putting it all back in the bags and then putting those bags in the box, you might love to see Kristen over here. We're going to be tearing down some of these curtains and putting stuff back in carts from our children's classrooms, and we would love your help. 10 to 15 minutes makes a big difference. 10 people working for 10 minutes really does a lot. We used to have to set up all these chairs when we were in the middle school, and now we don't have to do that anymore, so we've diverted that energy to other places. So once again, choice one is to go out those doors, stop a connection point, read a little bit about some next steps you can take with us here at Discovery, and then go down the stairs into the rotunda, taste some coffee, let us know how we can be better. And then or choice number two is head that way into the newcomers reception, hang out with John, and learn a little bit more about Discovery. I think there's a third choice, which is really get some coffee and then swing down a set of stairs into newcomers reception. That also works. So anyway, thanks so much for joining us. We hope to see a bunch of you at skate night tonight. Have a good Sunday, guys.
You're in.